Kevin, how you doing?
I'm good, Jason. I'm good. Better than Oilers fans and their goaltending right now, it sounds like.
Oh, well, I want to get, and I know that you looked over the game last night, and you know, it was not a great start for Cam Talbot. You know, they score a minute in, you know, from below the circle on the left side. What did you make of that goal? And then just how did you see Talbot's, you know, body language, how he was facing pucks all night long? What did you see?
Well, I mean, let's start with the first goal, because this is going to be the challenge. I'm going to try and explain these things for listeners, and I know nobody wants to hear excuses. And there are going to be times that, hey, goalie union card in pocket, goalie union hat on head, it's going to sound like that. But when you break down that goal, and, you know, I just tweeted out a freeze frame of the first one, are there things Talbot can do better? Yes. Are there things in the way that play broke down that leave you scratching their head in terms of what they're trying to do, you know, system-wise in their own end? Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the freeze frame that I just tweeted, and obviously if you're driving folks, I'd not recommend that, but have a look later, because what you've got is Patrick Kane, who, you know, demands your attention as a goaltender when he's carrying the puck. As he comes up high in the zone, you end up with two Oilers defenders basically standing on top of each other at the right face-off circle. Literally, they can reach out and touch each other, and yet neither one is anywhere near a Blackhawk low in the zone. So what that creates is Anisimov on top of Talbot in the crease with a good screen, and the defender, I think it's Fane over on the other side of the ice, he can't really commit over to the shooter, because he's also got a guy wide open in front of the net with no one else around him. So Kane comes up top, and as he makes that seam pass, a pass that I would argue has no business getting through a seam like that, that would be problem one, the screen forces Talbot to look over the short side shoulder, because obviously Kane's got the puck. He's a dangerous guy. He's a guy who can put it in a small hole. If you get caught kind of cheating away from him, he'll beat you short side, even from distance. He'll filter it through a hole. So he looks over the left shoulder of Anisimov. Well, as he's looking over the left shoulder, the puck's filtered over to his right. And so, you know, people said, was he late getting across? Yes, he was. But because he was trying to find the puck around an untouched screen in front of him. Second question I get is, why does he come over on his knees? And I think, you know, ideally in a perfect world, and this is the Benoit Lair mantra that Cam Talbot would have learned and listened to when he was coming up with the Rangers, Benny always says, beat the pass and solve the equation. Well, in this case, once that pass comes through and catches Talbot looking to his left, he's not going to beat that pass on his skates, which is, again, as a goaltender, that's what you'd like to do every time. If you can beat that pass set and square on your skates before the guy either shoots it or passes it again, that is our perfect world. But barring our perfect world, what we want to do is make that transition to the ice while we're moving, so that if there is a quick one-timer, which you seem to read accurately here, you've got the bottom of the net taken away. It's kind of like you're, you know, the point of the butterfly is to take away the bottom of the net. We'll consider this the moving point of the butterfly. So as he rotates to his right, he comes into his post, and he's got that pad down, and he's got that seal. And, you know, was it a great rotation? Did he get his head around on the rotation and kind of square off to that? Maybe not ideally, but I thought he was in pretty good position. Now, the one thing I haven't heard mentioned, or I didn't see mentioned on the home broadcast that I did hear mentioned, and the replay slow-mo seemed to kind of confirm it on the visiting broadcast, is on top of all that, puck hits off Thane's stick, who reaches in late, and it seemed like it was a puck that maybe was headed towards the crest, ends up going in off him on the shoulder. Now, again, this isn't an excuse. His job is to make that read, beat that pass, and get set. But with all the factors I just outlined, including two Oilers basically guarding nothing at the one faceoff dot, you've got a cross-seam pass that's one-timed, and he put it in a spot that it ended up going in. I mean, there's a lot of different factors in here. I'm not taking all the blame away from Cam Talbot, but when you break down that play, there were certainly plenty to go around. And so what happens? I mean, we talked about it last week with all the focus on the bad angle goal, and it's a goal that he was the first to admit couldn't happen. But all the plays leading up to that and all the passes and chances leading up to that, how many of them were, again, across the ice, the thing about this play is it doesn't just force you to go from one side of the crease to the other, which is, you know, we talked about advanced stats and scoring chances, and those are the best scoring chances, the plays that make you move from one side of the crease to the other. This one has the added challenge of having to go from the top of your crease back to your post. So there's a fair amount more rotation in terms of your hips and your torso and kind of getting that whole body around and back to that post. And so it's just, you know, it's a tough play, and it's a play that, quite frankly, a pass that can't really happen, and a play where, you know, you pretty much turn a cycle into a wide open one-timer with a screen unguarded in front. So it's, there's a lot of breakdowns here, and again, not to excuse Talbot, but he was one part of many that fell apart on that play. And so what happens going forward? We tend to shrink into our net, and that's a habit for a lot of goaltenders. I talked about last week how Marc-Andre Fleury, when things went bad, he got more aggressive. Well, I think when you're giving up as many lateral plays as the Oilers are, you're going to tend to try and shrink. And that's what we see when we look at the screen cap that I tweeted at the second goal. I mean, not only does the defense basically retreat into no man's land, but if you take a look at it, Shooter uses Klefbom as a, I mean, the only thing he's doing standing at the hash mark, sort of in that half flamingo, one knee down pose, is the Shooter moves the puck over to that side so that the defenseman is actually screening Talbot. Would you like to see him more confidently on top of his crease, cutting down that angle a little bit? Absolutely. But again, when you start giving up seam passes, when you start giving up lateral plays on a regular basis, it gets a little harder for that goaltender to be confident. And it's his job to find that confidence to play further out in his crease. Now, Talbot is not Henrik Lundqvist. He does not play on the goal line. But he's also not a guy who's going to come out well past his crease and retreat with these rush chances. He plays an inside-out game. And so the combination of the open space, I mean, but by the time Panarin lets that go, he's pretty much at the hash marks. And he's managed to disguise his release the whole time thanks to a pretty brutal screen by his own defenseman in front of him. And what the other part of this equation that a lot of people miss is Anisimov, because Fane originally had Panarin and let him go into the middle of the ice, he's then late on Anisimov, who's cutting to the back door. So there was also an opportunity for Panarin to just slip this over to the back door, and Anisimov was heading in unchecked. So as a goaltender, if you're able to read that this guy's got that pass option, you're not going to challenge well out to your top of your crease on the open shot, because you also read that he's got options as a Shooter, that he can still pass it on your back door. And let's face it, this is a team that has consistently given up a lot of those chances early. So again, you don't excuse Talbot completely. He has to find a way to trust his system and trust that the guys in front of them are going to do their jobs. But we've seen this with Oilers teams in the past couple of years. As those breakdowns start to, you get more and more of them, it gets really hard as a goaltender to trust guys to be where they're supposed to be. And you tend to either shrink or worse, and I haven't seen this yet, but you'll start to cheat as well. And when that happens in this league, open looks and cheating goaltenders add up to ugly goals in a hurry.
And that's fair, Kevin. My concern is the Oilers have had 100, you know, depending on who you talk to, and I've talked to four different people who track scoring attempts this year, and they have the Oilers actually having more quality grade A chances than they're giving up, and they're still getting lit up. Like, I understand that they've allowed some tough ones, but like Cam Talbot's, he's only faced an average of 27 shots his last four games, and he's had like under .857 save percentage in all of them. Like, at some point, your goalie's got to be responsible to do his job.
Yeah, absolutely. And it as a goaltender, and this is what every Oilers goaltender that has come through there over the past 3 years has said, when nobody else is doing theirs properly, that starts to creep into your head. And you start to look for the back doors, and you start to look for those seam passes. And I'd be interested to see what those scoring chances look like and who's tracking them in terms of, you know, we talked about this last week. Are we talking pure location? Or are we talking the ability to move pucks through seams and make the goalies go left to right and lateral? Because on a lot of the goals so far this season, that's what I'm seeing. Again, I haven't gone through every one. I haven't broken down every shot. But looking back over the goals that Talbot's given up over the last little while, for the most part, that seems to be a consistent theme. And it just, hey, it gets in your head. But again, that's his job. That's why he's brought in. He has to have the confidence to square up on the Shooter, not cheat on anything else, and trust everyone else to do their job.
Exactly.
And that just gets harder. the more times everybody else doesn't do their job. And here's a case where 58 seconds or whatever, you know, in the opening minute of a game against one of the better teams in the NHL, you've got two guys to your left guarding nothing with one guy open to your right and another guy standing right in front of you and no Oilers sweaters all around on what is a pretty routine cycle play. Again, it's on him to find the confidence after that and not to shrink into his net like he did on that rush chance. But as those breakdowns add up, it's like what Mike Babcock said going into the season. Our goalies are going to know what and where the chances are that they have to take care of. The more often you see chances that aren't supposed to be there or guys that aren't where they're supposed to be, the harder it is to continue to have confidence in that.
It's interesting. Kevin Woodley joins us from NHL.com and In Goal Magazine. Freddie Anderson and the Ducks have won four straight. And while Cam Talbot and the Edmonton Oilers, in his last four games, he's faced 109 shots. And meanwhile, Freddie Anderson's faced 137 and, a save percentage 944, 920, 952, 941. You know, he and the Ducks are rolling. And he's facing, like, a fair amount of shots. At any time you're averaging – over 35 shots per game, you're going to give up some quality chances.
Yeah, and they have. I mean, there's been a lot of highlight reel saves at the end of the night coming out of Anaheim, whether it was Hudobin and his 1-0 shutout or Anderson throughout the season. So they're not just giving up quantity, they're giving up quality. Interestingly enough, I'll have an article on this in a couple of weeks, but this is part of an adjustment. It's funny because 35, there's a lot of goalies in the NHL that'll tell you 30's the wheelhouse, 32's the wheelhouse. Sometimes it's tougher when you're not seeing shots, and this is one that's going to throw the analytics crowd for. I mean, I can't wait to see the response to this one because I'm sure they won't be happy about it, and I get it. But the reality as a goaltender is when you go 3, 4, 5 minutes in between shots and you're not seeing chances, it can be a lot tougher than kind of staying in the rhythm of those 30-shot nights. And so that kind of seems to be a comfort zone for a lot of guys. And, clearly Anderson has found his comfort zone. What I like about Freddie Anderson is he's a kid that leaves no stone unturned when it comes to trying to get better as a goaltender. He worked with a vision specialist last summer that led him to the Anaheim Angels batting practice facilities to try and work on his ability to kind of see things and see pucks and not so much tracking, but just in terms of his vision and working on improving his vision peripheral and what's in front of him. I mean, he's worked on his body. I mean, he's lost over 20 pounds and yet added, a ton of muscle. He's so much more physically mature than he was when he broke into this league. And then this summer, he found another tool. He went and spent a week with, working on head trajectory. So when he hears about something new, he tracks it down and he goes to work on it. And I like that. He's a guy that was never kind of satisfied with the status quo. And I think the tracking stuff has helped him as well. There was a tendency in the playoffs last year. I can actually pinpoint when he started to come off pucks and started to turn away from pucks and basically stop tracking them properly. And that was when that series turned for them against the Chicago Blackhawks. So he's found another tool that I think is going to help him long term. There are so many things about his game in terms of the ability to move such a big frame, not just powerfully, but under control around the crease. There's a lot of Carey Price in him. Not saying he is Carey, but there are a lot of those physical tools and elements in his game. And because he's so keen to get better, because he's so driven every summer, I think you're just going to see him to continue to improve. And so for all those people that figure he's just holding a spot warm until John Gibson figures things out and gets a little more experience under his belt in the American Hockey League, I have a feeling that Anderson is going to continue to get better and better in the crease. And we haven't even touched on his puck handling, which is you watch him zip it around in practice, and it's just a matter of time before the Ducks, who kind of keep their goalies in the crease because they have some crazy stanchions down there in Anaheim, maybe unleash him a little bit more with the puck handling because he can really move it as well.
And quickly, what are you hearing on Price?
I haven't heard. I mean, just what everyone else has heard in terms of getting a second opinion, that opinion being out of town. Obviously, that's going to be worrisome for Canadians fans. And I guess, you know, there's no way to know. That second opinion could just reaffirm the first, and maybe it's no big deal and we see him in practice by the end of the week. But obviously people are going to get a little nervous when they hear that, when they hear that it's bugging him enough to go seek a second opinion on it. I talked about the strength of his game being his movement, and so much of that comes from, you know, the ability to keep everything intact and tight and functioning properly in the lower body. So in the fact he's looking for a second opinion makes you a little bit nervous, but hey, Mike Condon and the power of mixed martial arts training in the off season. Not just a great story, but a great guy. And so far, he's been a great goaltender for the Montreal Canadiens with Price down.
Kevin, always good to catch up with you, man. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Sounds good, and I hope it didn't come across as just excuses for the goaltenders, but we'll keep taking a look at these plays and what's leading to the goals and see if we can figure out if there is any better answers for Cam Talbot moving forward.
Well, definitely, I think you hit on one thing. He's playing too deep in his creases. Screws him. He's not Lundqvist. He can't play on the goal line, and when he does, he's not going to have success.
Absolutely.